Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are going to be discussing the HBO Max mini documentary series titled Telemarketers, which is about exactly what you think it's going to be about, telemarketing. And that sounds boring, but I think it's compelling and we'll get into that later. But first, light news week. But Jordan, what do you have for us?
Well, my favorite show, The Circle, has begun filming season 6. And the reason that I'm even, I don't know, usually we don't comment on something being like starting filming, you know? But the tweet that I saw.
Yeah, like, is The Circle the new Succession?
Yeah. But the tweet that I saw just cracked me up because someone took a picture. I believe this is a real photo. And it says they've recently begun filming in Atlanta. And I always assumed that the exterior shots of the apartment that they all live in is like fake, like CGI or something. Uh-huh. And it is a photo of the giant pink and purple lit up circle and like all the windows all in, all colorful. And it's like real.
Oh.
And I was really surprised by that.
I want to see that. Please send that to me.
I will.
I'm curious also if they struggle with the same things that like Love is Blind has been kind of getting exposed for as far as the treatment of the people involved in the show, because they're technically contracted employees. It's very interesting.
Yeah, like they're all starving all day and they get like 2 hours of sleep a night and all that.
Also, have you watched any of the new Love is Blind?
No, I was kind of confused about that. I saw that there's one new episode and I thought it was of like, is it like following up with a couple or something?
Well, that's the thing. I don't really know either, but I also was on Netflix and saw like the header video of the couple from the last season. Now I can't even remember their names, but I hated them.
Wait, can you describe them at all? I don't know their names either, but which one are you talking about?
The guy whose mom was a stripper.
Oh, and so he would always be like, I'm an exotic dancer. Actually, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, that guy.
Oh.
Who then like chose a girl and then left that girl and then went for the other girl that he was into.
Yeah. Okay.
And it shows them like going to the doctor to like talk about doing IVF.
That's the new episode?
Like I watched the trailer for it because I was intrigued, but clearly not intrigued enough to watch the actual show.
Yeah.
Which also, now that I'm on this Love is Blind kick, I'm also going to bring up, did you see the TikTok I sent you?
When did you send it to me? Was it in the last week? Because probably I was all today. Over the place. So no.
It was probably today because I wasn't working because I'm technically sick. And I got served an ad for like some sort of makeup for like eyebrows. And it was like from the first Love is Blind couple that's still together.
Oh, Lauren and Cameron?
Yes. It's the two of them doing like an ad for like eyebrow makeup. And it's like, we're doing a test where you fall in love just based off of what somebody's eyebrows look like. And I'm like, what? I mean, I'm proud of them for like getting their bag, but also what?
I still follow her on Instagram and I don't really know why, because it's pretty much all Spawn. They are the Spawn king and queen. And yeah, you know what? Go for it. They're both like, they're hotties and they have been together now for like a while.
It's crazy.
So go for it. But that is really, really funny. That is hilarious, Spawn.
So you have a fun TikTok to watch when you get on TikTok.
Can't wait. I will do it right after this.
My main piece of news is that, so Sex Education is coming back this month. And they announced that the series finale is going to be 83 minutes long.
So a movie for us.
Yeah, a movie length.
See finale. That,
I'm happy about that.
Yeah. I approve. And thank you for not splitting it into like two parts or something like the Stranger Things treatment. My last piece of news is you know the show on HBO, We're Here, that was drag queens going to like small towns and giving people drag makeovers?
Oh yeah.
I think that's the summary of it. I've never actually watched it. I should watch it. Well, they changed, they're getting all new hosts for season 4. And they had previously announced that Sasha Velour, Jada Essence Hall, and Priyanka, who are all winners, by the way, so that was cool, they were the new hosts. And they just announced that one of the most like beloved queen from Drag Race, Latrice Royale, is now also going to be a host. And I'm not even in like the We're Here. I have not watched it before, but I gasped when I saw that. I was like, wow, they got Latrice. So I was like, I need to catch up on this show, because it started long, long before I got obsessed with Drag Race. And I never watched this, but it's supposed to be very good. Like, it's won Emmys, and it seems like the kind of the drag version of Queer Eye, and will make you,
yeah, that's fun,
cry your eyes out. It seems like that. So, yeah. So that was very...
Love a movie like that. Or I mean a show. Love a show like that.
Today is a silly episode.
That was my sick brain speaking. My last piece of news is that the trailer for Quiz Lady, a Hulu movie starring Awkwafina and Sandra Oh, was released. And it looks fun. I was into it. Sandra Oh was slaying and like... was kind of being funnier than Awkwafina. And so I was like, this is interesting. I mean, they were both funny, but I was like impressed that Sandra Oh was as funny as she was.
Totally. I didn't know the trailer was dropped. Wow. I can't wait to watch that.
And also stars our favorite guy, Tony Hale.
Wow.
So
can't wait.
Another reason to watch it. Did you want to share the industry stuff?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Good idea. Something that I discovered on Instagram today that was apparently announced in April. I don't know why we didn't see this, but, in the next season of Industry, Kit Harington and, Sally from Barry, whose real name is Sarah Goldberg, they're both going to be in the new season of Industry, and I cannot wait. Like, that, I just can't wait to see like their energies in this show.
Yeah, I can't really picture it, but I am in support of it.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised that we didn't know about it, because I feel like Industry gets pushed under the rug a little bit.
Yeah. Doesn't get a lot of buzz. Maybe, because remember, I feel like I was late to the Industry game, because it kind of looked like a baby Succession with like kids, and I was like,
yeah, now that Succession mm-hmm. isn't around, more people will come into it.
Exactly, that's what I'm thinking. Because everyone still wants a business show, and they're very different, but like the promo shots all look like the same, because they're all like buildings, money, suits. So like that's what I was thinking. I was Blue. Like, what is this, like the CW version of Succession? And like, no, it's very not.
It's very different.
But yeah, hopefully that will like, now that Succession is gone, maybe I bet it'll kind of become closer to a new Succession in popularity.
I agree. All right. To our top three. Our top three is based off of Telemarketers, the documentary series that we watched. And quick overview of the series is that it is basically made by some people who worked in telemarketing specifically for this one company. What was it called again?
CDG.
CDG. Yes. And like, they basically just started filming themselves at work and then have always wanted to like expose this company. And throughout the years, they did just that a little with this documentary series. So for our top three, we decided to rank three documentary series ideas that we have for our own curiosities and things we want to be exposed. I'll go first. I don't think it's been mentioned on this podcast, but Jordan and I recently went to Vegas and stayed at the Luxor. And I'm sure that there is a documentary about the Luxor, but I want like an HBO fresh, fancy documentary series on the Luxor.
Yes.
There are tales on tales on tales about that hotel. And I just barely learned. I posted about being obsessed with the Luxor on my story, and someone who lives in Vegas responded and said they used to have a boat ride inside of there where you were like riding through the Nile.
I would have loved to ride a ride through the Luxor.
Yes, that would have been amazing.
It looks like, it looks kind of like a theme park inside with like, they're like building a city that has nothing to do with Egypt. We saw many different landmarks from around the world currently being built inside the pyramid. It makes no sense. I mean, you could do a documentary just about the inclinators, by the way.
Yes.
Inclinators alone.
Which are the elevators
that go on an incline.
Go at a diagonal. and take forever.
Yes. But my friend had said that the weekend that Tupac was shot, he had been staying at the Luxor. He didn't get shot at the Luxor, but he was a guest at the Luxor.
What does it mean? And I also heard from a coworker that they have like a feline cat problem or what. I wasn't really clear on like if they welcome the cats, like if it's a problem or like they want it.
What?
I don't know.
So like cats are drawn like so to the pyramid because like cats are like holy animals in ancient Egypt or something.
I don't know. What? I don't know.
They're drawn to that light that the pyramid shines up at night.
Makes sense. It's their beacon.
Oh my gosh.
So there's a lot of content there that could be actually a 10-part documentary series, I think.
100%. Okay, that's amazing. My number three, and it's ranked number three because I'm scared about what this would actually unleash into society.
Oh, wow.
But don't you think that they could have a documentary unpacking the Gaylor phenomenon?
100%.
Like, someone's probably pitching one somewhere right now, and Tree Payne is stopping that from getting out there.
But even if it was like an unauthorized one, like that I watched one from like One Direction where it was like from Walmart, and one of the things it says in it that I always think about is like One Direction, also known as 1D. And I just thought that was so funny.
Well, that also okay, maybe it's not just a Gaylor documentary. That would be kind of like the hook to get people into it. But speaking of One Direction, what about the Larry shippers? Like, what is this fascination that every celebrity, like there's always a group of people that think a celebrity is pretending not to be queer, you know? So it's like, what is this? And you could also go into the history of, it's true, there are several celebrities, especially like in earlier days when society wasn't as accepting, but who really were queer and had to hide it, you know? And so like, but in modern times and the fandoms who literally believe that is all true.
That would be good. And I would imagine that's coming.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that would be fascinating.
Well, that's funny because one of mine is along the Taylor Swift train, and it's, I want a documentary series on Taylor Nation, which is, if you're not a Swiftie, I will tell you that Taylor Nation is basically the like social media platform and like group that is like the, like, what would you say? Like,
it's like you were just saying unauthorized. It is the authorized Taylor Swift news account, basically.
Yes. So like they're the ones that are like tweeting and like posting about like new stuff in her official store, like new merchandise, or like old clips of her, or like we'll contact other fans to like, she gives out like the 22 hat every show, and like sometimes they're the ones like coordinating who's getting that 22 hat.
Yes.
Or like when she was doing her secret sessions, it was all through Taylor Nation, like reaching out to fans.
Mm-hmm. And like the night that Speak Now Taylor's version was announced, they Taylor Nation went live on Instagram, and everyone was like, something huge is happening, because they're mm-hmm. official. They are like, they're her approved, like, publicity, basically. It's yeah, not like, it's not unofficial.
Has posted it. It's
yeah,
real.
it's official. It's all coordinated.
But it's like, who are they?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are involved? What kind of jobs are involved in Taylor Nation?
How do you get that job? Like, how
yeah,
do you apply.
Like, is it just like the marketing from the from her record label, or is it like her personal? So I would love to know more.
I would love to watch that documentary, like, so bad. That one I would accept an unauthorized documentary of that, because I don't think that would be authorized. My next one, this one is kind of like in Telemarketers, how they ended up like kind of revealing this big scam that the company they worked for, but it all like in their documentary, but it all started just on very, very, very small level. In a similar way, this idea comes from a small thing and grows bigger, because my small thing is, it's really annoying getting notifications and emails about prices increasing for all these streaming platforms. And it's hard not to see that it's related to the writer's strike. So it kind of would like kind of start by like looking at how much all the streamers kind of like cost, and how the individual, how much they're having to pay, and how we're all getting kicked off of sharing those streaming platforms and stuff, but how it really comes back. And then it would like kind of expand into like part of that explanation is the strike and the bad treatment of the writers and the actors and everything like that.
I feel like someone's already working on that too.
Oh.
I mean, they're probably on strike right now, but
yeah, someone's brainstorming.
I would for sure. For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Because I would love to know too. It's wild. Okay, my last one is very niche, but feels similar to Telemarketers-ish.
Okay.
Because something I liked about Telemarketers is that it kind of turned into a human story about this person named Patrick, and just kind of showed how special he was.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of thinking about that. And there is a restaurant that Jordan and I used to go to multiple times a week when Jordan lived here by our work. And it's called Robin's Nest. And randomly one day, Robin's Nest closed. And there was like a sign on the door from the government saying like, you have to get out right now. So like something sketchy happened. And this restaurant is run by a woman named Robin, and she is quite the character. And also her son helps her run the business as well. I call him Nest, but his real name is Josh. And anyway, after they closed for a while, they ended up opening up a new location that's actually closer to our work, which is great. But then they acted like nothing really happened. And I want to know what happened. And I think it could just be a really great human interest story on Robin.
Totally. That's a really good idea. You should like pitch that to like
my mom
or something. Yeah.
To have the news.
You literally
do that.
Have
that's a good idea.
A news person in your family.
She would love that.
Everyone would go crazy for that. Because also through that experience, we also learned how horrible their website is. they are so good and such a like gem, a beloved gem of Salt Lake, that they don't need to publicize. And so that's why it's like we're all just like waiting for like an explanation of why do you have to close, and it's like, oh, we just moved NBD from the location you've been at for who knows how long, like, what happened?
Yeah, like 30 years.
Yeah. Wow, that's a great idea.
There's a story there.
My last idea for a documentary came from something you said during the news, which was the way that the reality stars are treated on TV shows. That one, yes. They're clearly already working on an expose on that based on that one dude from, I don't know, season two of Love is Blind. Because stuff that they say is crazy. And after watching even just the story he told about his wife that was having a panic attack in the hotel room and how they like didn't give him any context or whatever, and like it made her out to just be like kind of looking jealous and overly emotional and crazy.
Yeah, like they said she was like sick, so she couldn't go out that night. So they made him go alone to like the group event, mm-hmm. and then
and sit in the, and she had to sit in the room with like no TV, nothing, just like barfing in the bathroom alone on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And like ambushed him. Like, that was really, it was really upsetting. And that's like a one-off thing. All the rest of it is that like they don't give them enough food, they barely pay them. They
don't know when it's like nighttime or daytime.
Yeah, like it really does sound like something out of Black Mirror or like a torture chamber or something. Like it's very crazy. And I'm sure that like maybe Netflix shows are the worst ones or something, but how are they treated on all other shows? How are they actually treated on The Bachelor? And name another reality show. You know, like I really would like to know. I would like to see behind the scenes of like any reality show, Survivor or something. Like we only see what is on the air, and that could be like a documentary series that like goes on for years unpacking all that stuff. Because it's also crazy because like them being treated poorly doesn't make the show better. Like I feel like just the nature of these shows, it's like it would be and still be entertaining even if they were happy. You know, like,
yeah,
on Love is Blind, like, so I don't know. I would like to see it.
I'm so surprised that it, like, I don't really know of anything that's been made already,
right?
Like I know like a lot of the Bachelor Nation people, like they will say stuff once their contracts are up.
Mm-hmm.
But like I would like it all compiled into a documentary.
Totally. Like I want to know like what does a day look like by the hour. I would like to see like what does it actually mean to go be on a reality show. What is your schedule? Yeah. When do you eat? What do you eat? Like what do you guys talk about? What do you do? Because you can't, they're like, don't let them watch TV and do like have their phones. Like what do you do to pass the time? Like I would love to see that.
Yeah, how do the interviews work?
Mm-hmm. Did you actually like the guy, or did you have to, like, you're there, so like I don't know, I just I would love to know every single thought that is in their minds. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm.
I want it all.
Yeah, I really do.
Okay, great. I'd watch all of those.
I would watch all of yours.
Thank you.
They're all, I feel like all of these sound way more interesting than a lot of documentary options that are available right now.
It's true. It is true. Okay, telemarketers. I saw this because Sarah Squirm from SNL rated it on Letterboxd. And then you sent me something about it. I can't remember what it was. And then we learned that the Safdies like were some of the producers, and so was Danny McBride.
Yeah.
But I hadn't really seen anything else about it. Had you?
I just saw a bunch of people that I follow like on Twitter saying watch it, but not really like,
okay.
I didn't really know anything else about it.
Yeah. How'd you like it?
I really liked it. I thought it was every episode was extremely fascinating. When you were talking earlier about how it did kind of become like a human interest story, I was happy because the way it was going, I worried that it would kind of be like, you know, remember that podcast S-Town where like,
yeah,
it started out as kind of a journalistic thing and then became a human interest story, which is fine. But that one ended. It was just like, I felt like it was way too, didn't have any focus. And it was kind of a weird situation that was like fizzled out for, in my opinion, by the end. So I was kind of worried that this one would also fizzle out by the end and just be kind of like, have not really have a point. But I didn't feel like that at all. I felt like I really loved following the character Pat and the other guy, Sam. Like, I really liked seeing where they ended up, and there were a lot of lows. And I even liked that they included a lot of the stuff where, like, Pat gets the guy's name wrong, or, like, they like, mess something up or something. Like, I liked that because I was, like, these... I just liked seeing them from, like, 20, 25 years ago and then seeing them now older and but still kind of like messing things up. Like, this isn't their profession, but like they actually were really good at it. Like, Pat was a surprisingly great interviewer and stuff, but like he still makes these kind of dumb mistakes sometimes. And I thought it came, stuff like that came off as like charming. And also they did really reveal some really crazy things. Like when they were talking about PAX. I was like, this is so relevant and is really upsetting and important that it is like revealed to the world, you know? So I ended up really, I liked it, I think, more than I even thought I would.
Yeah. When it first started, I was like, oh, this is like really depressing.
Yes.
And I was like really sad. But yeah, I really enjoyed the fact that they aren't like trained documentarians and that like this was literally just like people who were like, we should expose like our employer. So they were just like filming stuff and then kept with it throughout the years. And yeah, I loved Pat. He was so special. And like he taught me a lot as someone who like I worked in a congressional office and like people like Pat would like come in quite frequently. And I feel like it's really hard for people to take them seriously. And I think if he would have come into the office, like I would have been like, this guy is like not all the way with it, or like is like making stuff up to like make it sound like this big thing. But it was like, no, like what he is saying is true and like should be looked at and changed, especially by Congress. And so I thought that was really interesting and it really humbled me and taught me a lot.
I love that.
Yeah, I also really loved how like Pat going to buy a cowboy hat to go interview a Texan guy was so amazing, and then like how he kept wearing that hat was like the most special thing on the planet to me.
Yeah, he was just so charming. Like, and even when you first meet him in the documentary, it's kind of like, who's this guy? Like, what a weirdo. But like then you just kind of get it as the documentary goes on. Like, it was so funny. He had the hat and they're like eating their barbecue and then they're like, oh shoot, there's the guy, like we gotta go talk to him. And he's like, oh my gosh, I have barbecue sauce all over my fingers, like on my hands. Oh, it was just like, oh man, it was great. I loved
it. Yeah, like I'm just like, I did feel like the content as far as like the telemarketing went got a little repetitive in the middle.
Yeah.
Especially episodes 1 and 2. But I really liked an by episode 3, which is the final episode, that it like comes to modern day and they even like modernize the topic of like turning it into like, it's not just telemarketers. Like there's also these robocalls that are like, it's using like AI and like using
someone,
their voices still to talk to people.
It was crazy.
And like, that was crazy too.
It was so crazy. When they're like, I know this guy that's talking and he died a few years ago.
Yeah.
It
It was wild.
It really, yeah, it was like subtly kind of brilliant like that, where it's like, wow, AI is like the most talked about topic right now. And we all have experienced robocalls. And it is weird.
It's super strange.
So, yeah. And it was really, really clever for them to tie it back to that.
Yeah. I hope that people watch it. I'm glad I watched it.
I do too. And it was one of those documentaries where, like, it was, like, sticking with me. Like, I was like, oh, like telling my mom, was like, oh my gosh, I'm watching this crazy documentary. Like, look at all this stuff they're talking about. Where sometimes I'll watch a documentary. Like, that's how I know that it's good. And no I one like even it. Knows. Yeah, like, watch it in one ear, out the other. I zoned out and, like, it wasn't interesting or, like, not a single fact stuck in my head. But this one, like, there were tons of things that were, and like it was so relevant, and it was crazy. Like, speaking of when you're bringing up like how they bring it to modern day, when like they always were tying it back to like the police union and like acting as though they're raising money for these police groups and stuff, and now how it's like, well, now they're talking like they use Blue Lives Matter and like all these very relevant right wing buzzwords that all like it's just it always has been that way with these telemarketing groups. Like, they just know that the police are such a hot topic. I don't know, it's just, I'm kind of rambling.
It's just like fear mongering and like well, it kind of also reminded me of like the Operation Underground Railroad like movie.
Yes,
it's just like compelling stories to like get a lot of money for things, and then people not even knowing exactly where they're putting their money because there are loopholes everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's upsetting.
It was really crazy. I was telling Taylor, I have had two jobs post college that were, this was a triggering watch, because one of them, I was doing web content for this company that was selling like diet pills and random supplements that are BS, but they would constantly be getting horrible ratings on Better Business Bureau, and so they'd have to like launch a new LLC name just like CDG did, and they'd be like, oh well, they say they have to shut down, but then they'll just make a new business name. And that's like exactly what my old company did. And then later I did work for a call center. My coworkers, like, it was not a good place to work. It was like the lowest possible benefits you can imagine. But a lot of the people working there, like, they had criminal records and they didn't have like their GED, and they had like DUIs and felonies on their records. And so like they literally couldn't get other jobs. And like, it is really sad to see that then they get exploited. I mean, it wasn't nearly as extreme as CDG in the documentary, but it is really sad where it's like, I can't get another job, so I'm going to have to work for this shady ass company that is literally scamming old people out of their money. Just because they use the right terminology to pull at their heartstrings. Like, it was just like so messed up.
Yep. I know. It made me glad that I had never worked at a telemarketing place. But I know so many people that did and have, and like, it's still a booming business. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really very interesting.
All right. Well, we both recommend Telemarketers on HBO/Max.
I'll never get used to that. I was updating. So I was updating our Girl Meets Show Google Doc list of the shows we're watching because I had it open.
Oh, fun!
And I just can't bring myself to change HBO to Max.
We know what it is.
We know what it is. It's just like I refuse to call Twitter X. Like, I'm just not gonna do that.
No. Sorry, not happening.
Not gonna happen.
Who's your crush of the week?
Let me see. What else did I watch this week? I have like, I have very warm feelings towards everyone on telemarketers. Don't have a crush on them. Oh, actually, no, I know exactly what I watched. If I wasn't watching this, I was watching the U.S. Open. And so I'm giving my crush to Coco Gauff. No relation to R. Taylor.
Great answer.
Different spelling.
I do like to try to say that she's my cousin, but yeah, we are not related in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, go Coco. Good answer.
Thank you.
Okay, my crush of the week, I think I've already mentioned this before, but I'm very deep into watching BoJack Horseman for the first time. And I mean, half of the fun of that show is hearing all of the famous people's voices and like picking who's who.
Yeah.
So I love to like hear someone and be like, that's this person, or like see their name at the end and be like, oh, I can't believe I didn't guess that.
Yeah.
And so my current one is Jake Johnson. He has such a great voice and like very easily accessible. And so the minute I heard him start talking, I was very happy.
Yes.
And
he has like a small role, but you like, you know, it's him immediately. Like, it's so yes. good.
Like, he comes back a couple times and it's like, oh, I'm glad they're showing him again, because I love that character.
100%.
Yeah, it's special.
Great answer. Doesn't it make you appreciative? Like, because you know how I'm always obsessed with people doing voice acting, and it just makes you appreciate yes. good voices so much.
Yes, like, I am like, are they always just like recording these like individually, or do they record in the same room and like have an actual conversation?
That's another documentary I want immediately, because
yeah,
I feel like sometimes they must be, but maybe they're just that good and make it sound like they're really all in a room together, you know?
It would be so hard to like emphasize correctly and like match people if you weren't recording at the same time. So yeah, documentary now, please.
Seriously. And like the order that they do everything, like do they have anything drawn out and then they get the recordings of their voices, and then do they like make changes to match it even better? I have no idea, because they do such a good job and I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
Hopefully someone's on that as well.
I hope so too. I'm so happy that you love BoJack Horseman. It's so good.
It's so good. I'm very happy and already sad, because I think I just got to the fourth season. So I still have a bit.
I think are there six seasons?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm pretty
sure.
It's
so good. And I feel like I've learned a lot about the industry from that show.
Yes.
It feels very educational.
Mm-hmm. It covers all my favorite things. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
All right. Well, Telemarketers on HBO. Go watch it and let us know if you liked it as much as we did.
Yeah.
Talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.